That's my new thing, bro. New York Giants hat.
All day.
All day.
Young man Olsen.
What's up, bro?
We were talking about this earlier, but Simon said he was recording, but I don't trust him because he just be talking reckless sometimes. But I appreciate your hat every time.
Yep.
It gives me hope.
That's my new thing, Jason. That's my new thing. I think of, you know how Spike Lee always represents for New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my new thing, man. I'm gonna start repping for the New York Giants every single time. So every time you see me, you're gonna see this hat on. NYG. You know, all day.
I love it.
It's about time. It's about time.
I think it's fresh. And you know what? It's just like they say about Jay-Z talking about he made the New York Yankee hat more famous than the Yankees did. Mm-hmm. I think you might make the Giants. OC might make the hat more famous than the Giants did.
Hey, that's all I'm trying to do out here, man. I'm trying to make the Giants famous out here. I'm trying to make the Giants. Listen, Jason, I'm in their stadium. They put my name forever etched into their stadium. So the least I could do is represent for them out here and let them know that the love is real. You know what I mean?
I like where this is going because there's something that ties into this perfectly. You got the love. Let's just be honest. Yeah. I remember walking through this stadium, taking a picture of you, sending it to you. You were like, oh, that's cool. It was a big billboard of you. You were like, that's really nice. I was like, yeah. That's pretty fresh. You should be impressed. That being said, I want to set the stage. In a regular year, we would be at the Super Bowl, correct, OC?
Correct. We'd be there. We'd be there.
Monday night would be media night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for those who haven't seen media night, it is chaotic, right?
Yeah.
Media from across the world, a lot going on. It's chaos. And everybody's trying to flood the booths, get up there. Every year, you have to be the guy to make it happen because you're that guy. Yeah. You got the love. I've seen you pull coaches, players to the side and do amazing things. Yeah. But I haven't seen anything like this. We are in the virtual world. We are in the virtual world where people usually see your face. They're like, oh, OC, yeah, come on. I got you, right? It's that contact. Yeah. But something special happened last night. Mm-hmm. And it was with two great players from Tampa Bay. One guy, we'll call him the GOAT. When your name was heard, the response was magnificent. Simon, let the people hear the response to the love OC gets.
We'll go to OCU Manura.
My guy.
What's up, Tom? How you?
I'm happy I'm not playing you this weekend.
Man, that's awesome, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good talking to you, man.
Man, it's really good talking to you too, man. Now I got to be completely honest with you, Tom. I was one of the people who said, you know, some of this guy's success has been down to being in New England and being with Coach Bill Belichick, but you have absolutely obliterated that narrative, man. And I'm so happy to see you, and I'm happy to see what you've done down there in Tampa. Let me just get that out the way first.
You're coming clean. Is that what's going on?
Exactly what's going on, man. I'm coming clean. But now, obviously, there's a guy who you're going to be going up against. People talk about it's you against Patrick Mahomes, but it's really not. It's you against that Kansas City Chiefs defense. And the guy who's the defensive coordinator was the guy who was the defensive coordinator in 2007 with the New York Giants. How do you feel about that? And, you know, are there any differences or similarities between the two teams that you're about to go face?
You know, that 2007 game is one of my least favorite football memories, just so you know. And partly because I had a lot of you on top of me with grass stains on my back, you and Trey and Justin. And, you know, you guys had a great defense, and you guys were an incredible opponent that day, and you guys deserved to win. So it's tough. You know, I think Spags runs a great scheme, and I think he really caters to the strength of his players. And I think his scheme's evolved different times, and I've played him several times over the last, I don't know, 13, 14 years. I think he's a tremendous coach. Everyone seems to love to play for him, and it's a tough game. So I know he's going to have those guys ready to go. They'll be prepared. They got a lot of great players on that defense, a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who really understand football. Obviously, the moment's not too big for those guys. You know, they've been on the biggest stage last year, and they played a great game. And beat the Niners to win last year's Super Bowl. So it's going to be pretty tough. And we'll be up for the challenge. It's going to be a great game. I look forward to it. Still got 6 days to prepare, and then we'll go cut it loose, see what we can accomplish.
And I appreciate you, Tom. I'm really rooting for you guys, man. Go do it.
Thanks, OC. Appreciate it, man. Great talking to you.
That's just how it goes, OC.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a tough one, Jason. And I'm really tired this morning. It's not because of my workouts, because I wasn't able to sleep really well yesterday. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. It was difficult for me to go to sleep. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we've been here for a long time now, you know, and, you know, you're out here in England and, you know, people don't know who you are. You know, you're walking around, you're a normal person. You're just, you know, and so for me, I forget, you understand what I mean? Like, I forget, you know, what we were able to do and what I was able to do. And so, you know, when you hear somebody like that, Tom Brady, who is no question the greatest quarterback I think we've ever seen, and you hear the respect and you hear how he discusses and how he acknowledges you, I'm like, God damn, like, no. You know, I really did that. You understand what I mean? And
yeah,
it was just because that was my first time ever speaking to him. I've never spoken to Tom Brady before, like never. As many times as we played each other, we've never had any interaction.
He always looks at you and acknowledges you, the OC. I've seen
he does.
100 times.
He's done that. But I mean, as far as like verbal communication, right, we've never spoken before. And so for that to be our first interaction after all these years and to see him still playing at that level and to see the amount of respect and the love that he showed, it was a little overwhelming. I can't even lie. And, you know, I'm just, it was a real crazy moment, to be honest with you. And, you know, we are here, Jay. We are here.
We got another one to go to. But before we do that, I want to say something. And I appreciate who you are as far as this new venture you've taken on in the media. Like, you ask questions where you understand people have to answer them and they can't shortchange you on the answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the way he answered that, as understanding what happens in the game, he was straight up and he was spot on. Like, he said what's going to happen, what Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator who he's facing, does. I mean, it was, he didn't paint a picture just like, hey, I'm just going to give an answer to this person. He knew he had to become correct because he was talking to you. There's a lot of power in that. And that's a reason why you being in the media is important, especially over here, because you get those kind of direct answers. That being said, OC, I was really impressed. I definitely ride your coattail on media day while you do this heavy lifting. And I love it. And I get love too, because I'm with you. They're like, oh, Jay Bill, you work with OC. That's what's up. That being said, there's nothing like the locker room, right? And when you run into your boy, like you run into your boy and he's still playing. And you catch him off guard. It's just like when I retired, all my buddies were playing and I'd come to the Giants. I'd be on the sideline talking to you guys during the game, you know, because it's Jay Bell's back, my boy. But you got some special friends.
Yeah.
And one of your special friends you ran into, this guy, if he has a great game, Tampa Bay probably wins, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So you know who it is, but the fans don't know.
Before you play this clip, Simon, I gotta let people understand that Jason is a great friend of mine. I played with him, but when you hear the clip, right, you're gonna hear me laughing initially. And I gotta tell people the reason why I was laughing initially is because,
please do,
I know Jason, like, I know him very, very well. Like, he is so direct. He doesn't mess around. If he likes you, he likes you. If he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. And he respects people for what they do. For, like, you know, he's a dog. So if you're a dog and you're out there, he respects that. So I was on the call and I was listening to reporters asking him questions, right? Mm-hmm. And his answers, he was just blanketing. He was like, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. I'm this, I'm that. oh, we're going to do this. They got to worry about all this. But he was like so blunt and so like matter of fact with them, right? Uh-huh. And if you don't know him, you would take that the wrong way. You understand what I mean? You would take that the wrong way. You'd be like, why is he acting like that? But I knew him. So as I'm listening to him talking, I'm laughing. I'm just laughing at JPP, man. It was so funny to me to hear him talk to people like that because I'd seen him, but I know where it comes from. I know it comes from a good place. Right. So I didn't know they were going to announce me next. So when they said, next, OCU Manure, I'm already laughing at what Jason is doing. You understand what I mean? But I can see him, but he can't see me. And then when they announced my name, his whole face changed. And, you know, it was cool, man. So, Simon, you can play.
Jason Pierre-Paul right here reacting to my man, Osi, after being stone-faced with all the other interviews. Simon, play the clip.
Okay, our next question will be from OCU Manura.
Oh!
JPP.
They call me El Capitan. You got to leave from the front. You cannot leave from the back. What's up, baby?
Man, I'm here,
Capitan.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Man, love, bro. I miss you, bro.
Man, I miss you too. I ain't even have no question. I just wanted to say what's up to
my brother. What's up, man?
You know what to do. You know what to do.
Hey, for real. Ain't nobody like OC, man. Ain't no OC on my team. You feel me? For real, yeah,
go
man.
Go get it, bro. Go get it, man. I'm
going to hit you up after this. Love, bro. Right, love.
Man. Much love.
I'll hit you later.
All right.
I'm a dog, man.
I love that. I flat out love that. And you know, why I really love that, man. And all selfishness, I love it because we have access to those unbelievable interviews because of personal relationships. But what I saw was somebody who's sitting there, media days are grind, especially when you're a player of his caliber, you know.
Yeah.
Jason Pierre-Paul is that dude. Everybody wants to talk to him. Pro Bowler this year. And when he heard from you, it like broke it all up, man. It made it like, it just gave him a break, man.
Yeah.
It just energized him for that next stretch.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. It was fun to see. And I got to explain the song to people, the song that we were singing.
Now, yeah, break that down.
Okay, so Justin Tuck was named the captain of the team, right?
Also, you see my hands?
Yeah. He was shout out to Justin, right? Justin's my guy. We love Justin. But you know, yeah. But there were people in there who kind of knew what the real situation was. They knew what the real situation was. And so you know, I think it was in 2011 and Justin was hurt. And so Justin's mood would kind of like go down a little bit when he was injured. Mm-hmm. And so I remember one day he walked into our meeting room, and our meeting room was just a jungle. It was a zoo.
Yeah.
We were completely out of control in there. And so he comes in and his mood is down. And I'm like, your mood can't be down, Justin. You're the captain. You gotta lead from the front. You can't lead from the back. You gotta be up in there. So I don't know why I just started singing. I was like, Justin, they call it. Your name is El Capitan. You gotta lead from the front. You can't lead from the back. They call him El Capitan. And bro, it just took off. And so the entire team, anytime we see Justin, it was kind of like we were making fun of him, but we were being serious at the same time.
Yeah.
He coming in, we just start singing. They call him El Capitan. Yo, it was incredible, man, and it was really cool to talk to JP and you know to see how he's doing and to see him on this stage and you know to see what he's come through and to see him still performing at this level. It was just a really cool thing, man. I was happy that I was able to have those interactions with both of those guys yesterday, Jay.
Yeah, it was really sweet, man. I mean, Talk about the grind sitting up there going through that. Like, a lot of people don't experience that. You think about it, you think, oh, this is great. But I mean, what does it really feel like sitting up there taking all them questions? Are you kind of on edge? Can you, you can't really relax?
It's, you know, as much as you don't want to say this, it's the first 5 minutes is okay, you know, but then, you know, because people don't have, it's like they all wrote down the same three questions. And so they're asking you the same questions over and over and over and over again. And in your head, you're like, were you not just, you were just there. You heard this guy ask me, why couldn't you just take his answer? And they want me to, they want you to answer, ask the same questions or answer the same question in a different format. And so it becomes, you know, kind of annoying, which is why, you know, when I asked Tom that question, you know, everybody was asking him the same question. Oh, it's your 10th Super Bowl. Oh, it's you against Mahomes. So I had to go at it from a completely different angle. Mm-hmm. And even when I went to speak to JPP, I wasn't going to ask him, like, what was I really going to ask him? I was like, I don't even have any questions for you, man. I just wanted to, you know, bring that energy and bring something different to you. So it's a different vibe. It's a grind. The first couple of minutes are okay, but man, so some of these media people, if you're listening, you got to be original, man. You got to be original. You can't ask the same three questions that everybody around, and it's like 100 people asking the same questions over and over and over and over again. It gets kind of annoying. So I can understand why they get up there and behave like that sometimes.
I totally get it too, because it's almost like you're being asked repetitive questions, right? And it's because these media organizations want their person asking a question, right? Oh,
yep,
we need to film you asking a question. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But then you get the ones that come in and they want to hit a hot button. And I get it. You know, it's your only access to Tom Brady or big time players, and you want to ask something very controversial. And it's like, you know, these guys have been up there for however long, grinding down. They're getting exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then you want to ask them this question that really makes them dig in and think, right, of how I'm going to answer that. I'm sympathetic to that, man. That's tough. I love that the NFL gives access to its players the way it does. I mean, it makes the sport beautiful. But I've never had to sit up there like you have and just witnessing it. I can see how you have to be very, not only trained, but just on your toes at all times. You cannot relax.
Yeah, and I got a story to tell you about that too. I was, oddly enough, you would never believe this by how I am right now and how I behave, but for stretches of my career in New York, I was very combative with the media. I really was.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I was very combative with them, and I would go a long time without talking. And then when I talk, I would be short sometimes. And then sometimes I would just let my personality come out. So a lot of people who see me now who are in the media, they're like, man, I can't believe this is you. You know what I mean? I can't believe this is you behaving like this. And on that note, I got to tell you a story about Roger Goodell. I really do. And this is going to trip you out. And this is going to let you know what kind of guy Roger Goodell is. Me and Roger, you know, as you know, we're good friends. We went to Afghanistan together, me, him, and Drew Brees. We went to Iraq together. We went to go see the troops. And so we slept in the same room, like, for like a week. I was together with Roger and Drew, like, 24 hours a day for like a whole week. We'd get up in the morning at 4. We'd go work out. Then we'd get on a helicopter and go to Army base and sign autographs. It was crazy. So me and Roger, we got really close over that period of time. So this was 2008. So 2011, me and Roger had kept in touch the whole time. Like, his daughters were like my biggest fans, and he would let me know all the time because he was in New York. He'd be like, yeah, OC, I'm so happy for Boo, all this stuff. So me and Roger were really tight. And so 2011 comes, we're at the Super Bowl, right? And I go to the first media day. I answer all the questions. I do everything the first media day. But on my sheet, it said there was another media day the next day. But Tom Coughlin usually wrote mandatory on everything that was mandatory. So on this one, this is the Tuesday media session, it didn't say mandatory. So in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to this media session. Forget that. So I didn't go. And so I get a fine. I get fined $20,000 for missing this media day. So I'm like, So I get the letter that I got fined $20,000 for missing this media day. And on the bottom, it's signed personally, Roger Goodell. So I see that. I see that, Jason. I'm like, oh, okay, this is Roger. Oh,
I'm gonna get this handled.
I'm not even concerned. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Super Bowl comes, oh. Jason. Super Bowl comes. We win the Super Bowl, Jason. And, you know, we win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm on the field. Confetti is all around me. And I see Roger on the field. Roger sees me. He's like, oh, see, what's going on, man? And he comes. He gives me the biggest hug. And I, you know, I'm like, yeah, Roger. And Roger's like, man, you did it, man. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm so proud of you, OC. I'm like, absolutely. And I'm like, before we go, Roger, I got something I got to ask you. This is a true story. I was like, I got something I got to ask you, Roger. I got a letter. This is, Jason, we had just won the Super Bowl.
You're not even trying to celebrate.
This is on my mind. And I'm like, Jason, I'm like, Roger, I got this letter. This letter says I've been fined $20,000 for missing a media day. Now, I didn't know it was mandatory. And I was like, Roger, I saw your name signed on there. And I'm like, Roger, you're going to take care of this for me, right? And he's still smiling. He looks at me dead in my eyes. And he's like, no, I'm not going to take care of that. You missed your media session, and you're going to pay that fine. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, I actually respect that. I actually respect that, man. Because this man he didn't care we won the Super Bowl. He didn't care that we went to Afghanistan and Iraq together. He was going to uphold that law no matter the circumstances. And I could do nothing but respect that, man. It was incredible. And me and him were still cool to this day. I'll never forget that, Jay.
What's funny is he didn't hesitate. He wasn't like, which one? Let me check on that. He was like, oh, no. Yeah, I signed that. And you go,
You're going to pay.
I remember that coming across my desk, and I didn't think twice.
Jason, confetti. Confetti's still in the air. Confetti's still in the air, Jason. This man didn't care nothing about that. I said, wow. You got to be serious, bro. You got to be a serious person to uphold the law under those circumstances.
Because incredible. You thought 100% for sure this is handled.
Come on. This is, oh my God. Come on, Roger. Oh, of course you're going to take care of that. And I paid that fine too.
Hey, shout out to Roger Goodell for being holding fast and being steady.
Man, that man is like, he's not, listen, he is going to uphold that law no matter the circumstances. There's no two ways around it.
Coming off the back, I didn't know you were going to go on that story. It's hilarious. Every time you say it, I crack up. I could just see your face out there. We have a Super Bowl on our hands.
Yep.
Through a, you know, this year has been trying and difficult for everyone. The NFL pulled this off, OC. And in the beginning of the year, you had a lot of people that, I mean, they truly, I don't know if they didn't want it to happen, but they everything they said was that the NFL couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do it. Why are they doing it? We always talk about leadership, and we can complain about things that we don't like, our opinions and things of that nature that the NFL does. But you got to be proud of this, right?
Yeah, it's not only incredible on the NFL's part, man, but you got to understand that it's a testament to humanity. Everything that's happening this year is a testament to humanity. And I say that because, Jason, the one thing that I know about people and the human race is if they really want to get something done, they will find a way to do it. Jason, they came up with a vaccine in a year. It takes 5 to 10 years under the best of circumstances to come up with a vaccine. They came up with that thing in a year. The NFL said to themselves, we are going to play this season no matter what, under any circumstances. And they came up with a plan. They had the leadership and the iron will to get it done. And they executed this as best as possible. And now you have them playing the Super Bowl. Nobody missed any games. They played every single regular season game, playoff games, and now you're in the Super Bowl under incredible circumstances, and they found a way to get it done simply because they wanted to. And if you want to do something, Jason, and this goes not just for the NFL, this goes for governments, this goes for people, this goes for everybody. If you really want to do something, Jason, you will find a way to get it done. And this, what the NFL has done, is an absolute testament to that.
I agree. And two things you have to have. There was compromise between the players union and the league, right? Mm-hmm. On the fly, they had to figure out what each side wanted. They had that compromise. And then they had talented people that were able to execute these things. So to your point, if you want to get something done, you can, and you need to have talented people that have the skill set to do it. And we saw that with the NFL, man. We know doctors personally that had a big hand in this, you know, especially from the Giants. And yep. You see they handled it very correctly over there. It's just, you know, people that cared, the player sacrificed, the team sacrificed, the league sacrificed. I'm just proud. I'm proud to be associated with it.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. They did a really good job.
And I hope you don't get fined $20,000 for anything in the near future. Please.
Nah, it's not going to happen, man. I don't know who's going to find me. I mean, unless I'm going to find myself, you know. And at this point, man, I just, you know, I don't even care anymore, Jason. I'm just like, whatever, just be your worst. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things go.
Oh, my gosh. All right, the Super Bowl's here.
Yeah,
we said we were going to talk about it. You know, I know you don't like talking about repetitive things. So What is on your mind? Like what? I know that you're standing. This is OC. The day of the game, we come in to do the game and this light bulb goes off in your head and you in about 3 minutes, break it down to me. Boom, 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 boom. It's like you have this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's not that time.
Yeah.
But give me the first couple of sentences of that. What are you thinking? Like, blank slate, not even going to lead the convo. What is OC seeing right now?
Yeah, and I think the reason why I do that is because, for me, like, I take a while to process information. You understand what I mean? Like, when I'm able to sit down and really analyze everything that has happened, you know, sometimes I'll even be looking at the, the Saturday walkthrough. And see how the players are behaving and and I'll be able to get a sense of, you know, how things are going to be even as late as that. So I don't really know what's going to happen up until like right before the game. And I'm like, okay, now I have a really good understanding because I have so much data, you know, that I've been able to process and I can come up with what's going on right then. So for now, it's difficult to say what's going to happen. I know that, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I know their offense is going to be, they're going to be in big trouble. They're going to be in a world of hurt, man, going up against this Tampa Bay defensive front. I know what Kansas City wants to do, but are they going to be able to do that? How are they going to be able to contend with, you know, this front four of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, considering the fact that, you know, Kansas City is down a couple of offensive linemen and a position where you can't really be down a couple of offensive linemen, man. You know, these Tampa Bay Buccaneers, these guys are ferocious and they're not going to be there to play any games. Those guys are going to be right there on your doorstep and they're not going to have any masks on. And you know what that means.
I know exactly what that means.
You know exactly what that means. Kansas City, they're going to have to try to get the ball to these weapons. And I know that Todd Bowles has to understand that he knows his advantage is going to be on the front four. So now he just has to find a way to get Patrick Mahomes to hold the ball for a split second longer than you ordinarily would, and that front is going to get home. But now Andy Reid, you have to understand where he came from. He came from Philadelphia, so he knows what a dominant defensive end, dominant defensive line does because he's seen it up front and personal with the New York Giants. And he had to change his whole style of play calling when they were going up against us. That's where they came up with that punt formation, where they were lining up, you know, tight ends in the split nasty position to give the defensive ends a horrible look. But then again, if you do that, then you're disrupting Travis Kelce because, you know, you want him to get out into the route really quick. But now if he has to stay in a block a second longer, then he's not able to get out there quite as quickly. And now you've disrupted your whole offense. So it's a cat and mouse game that's going to be played. And I don't know how that's going to play out because the things that Kansas City have to do to accommodate what Tampa Bay is going to have to do is going to disrupt their offense. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
I was thinking about that formation you just talked about. You had taught me, you showed me that a couple years ago on tape. The Colts were doing it, and obviously where he got it from. But I'm interested to see what happens. You know, Andy Reid was a former offensive lineman. So I'm always interested, like the way he calls plays and designs play, he understands blocking assignments better than anybody, right? One of the best. Everything you're saying is correct, and I believe in it. What about Patrick Mahomes' movement as a defensive end? Because we know that matchup matters. When he moves side to side, and he's been scrambling all year, he's been getting out of the pocket. He doesn't stay in the pocket. What does that change what Shaq Barrett and JPP are doing on the outside of defensive ends? At what point can they – what does that slow them down, if at all?
Not at all, man. You got to understand, JPP is – he's a better athlete than Patrick Mahomes, like flat out. And, you know, Shaq Barrett is a pretty good athlete, but he's not quite the athlete that Jason is. So Jason's going to rush. And I don't think when those guys are closing down the pocket on him, these aren't regular human beings. You know, they're not the blitzers who are coming straight line and they find it hard to change direction. If you look at the way Jason moves, he's like, he can change direction at the drop of a dime. So all that pocket movement that Patrick Mahomes does, Jason isn't a speed rusher. You understand? He's like a power to speed rusher. So he's going to be collapsing the pocket as opposed to just coming around the edge, which is what I would do. And then Patrick would be able to step in and slide. He's not going to be able to do that in this game. He might be able to do that on the other side. But Barrett is also an advanced pass rusher. And then you got to understand up the middle, Vita Vea and Dominique Sue, they're going to push that pocket up. So, you know, it's not going to be easy, man. It's not going to be easy for Kansas City at all.
So I have one question on that because I agree with you. Do you think, because those guys don't rotate that much, OC. Now, JPP is an amazing athlete, Shaq Barrett, but those big guys in the middle, man, they don't rotate a lot. Yeah. Can they get worn down?
Well, I mean, obviously they can, especially if Kansas City up-tempos, you know, and tries to run as many plays as possible to wear them out. But at the same time, those guys are going to be down in Tampa. It's not like they're going to be in Kansas City or New England. They're going to be in that heat. So it becomes a battle of attrition now. You want to wear us down? Okay, cool. But we're down here in this heat. This is what we do every day. Yeah. So, you know, so are you going to come down there from Kansas City in whatever the weather and the humidity is and try to up-tempo us here? We'll see if you're going to run out of gas. We'll see who runs out of gas first, me or you. And I think the advantage will go to Tampa Bay. Now, if this game was in, you know, a cold weather climate or even indoors, I think it would be different. But being in Tampa, it's a tough, man. It's a tough, tough place to play. I've been down there on several occasions. And once that humidity gets going and that heat, man, you're like, ugh. It's a sticky feeling, you know. And you have to be in tremendous shape to be able to play down there.
Now, all that being said, OC, you know I got to talk about my defensive backs, and the DB's got to cover. Because if you're getting that pressure and you're close, but I'm not holding my own on the back end, Patrick Mahomes will find you just like he did last time. Tyreek Hill got a couple bombs on Carlton Davis. So I think you're right. Ty Bowles is going to find a way to mix up some zone coverages. But the way you're describing it, it's going to be a close game. It might not be a lot of points scored.
It's going to be a good game. I think you're going to see points in the maybe high 20s.
Okay.
You know, high 20s. I'm thinking maybe that. 31 to 28 or, you know, 27 to 24. I think that's where it's going to be. It's not going to be like 14 to 10 or anything like that. No. Now you're gonna see some points scored. I would love to see Antonio play in this game.
I would too, man. He'd be a game changer. I like this breakdown. What about your boy Spagnuolo, that Kansas City defense? I mean, what are they? I think they're going to blitz Tom Brady. Knock him off the spot. You know he doesn't want to move around the pocket. What are you seeing, and how are you seeing it this early?
I think that's exactly what he's going to do. We all know what Spags is going to do. I don't think it's a question. He's going to send some dogs after him. But – you know, it all depends on how Tom is able to read that and adjust it. They've had quite a long time now to sit back and really, you know, see what was going on. I think when we played them in 07, The first game we played against New England, Spags didn't blitz at all. It was just, you know, vanilla coverages. So, you know, by the time the Super Bowl came and he did start to send those blitz, it was something that Tom Brady hadn't seen before. So it caught him off guard in regards to the, you know, the pass rush that was coming at him. But I think now it's a completely different situation, man. He would have seen most of the things that the Chiefs have been able to do because they've been doing that all year. And they wouldn't have had the advantage of had playing them before. So it's going to be interesting, man. Spags, he's a really, really smart guy. And right now, I promise you, he's thinking about all the different things he's going to be able to do to try to confuse Tom Brady and throw different coverages and blitzes at him.
I agree. And I love us talking about the defensive side because everybody's focused. We know what these quarterbacks can do. I will say the X factor in my mind is both of these teams' corners. Mm-hmm. The corners on these teams have ball skills. They can go up, get the ball. And somebody's corner is going to step up and make some big plays and get some big turnovers. And Tom Brady makes you pay if you get him a turnover. You know, if Tampa gets him the ball, he capitalizes. And so does Patrick Mahomes. So both these guys, you got to slow them down. But this cat and mouse game you said on the defense, I can't wait to watch. I'm so excited. We'll break this down more on our show. But I'm glad you just told me all of my thoughts that I'm going to use when I get on my show. You're going to say, I heard this before. Why did I hear somebody before? Because you said it on the podcast, OC.
Anytime, bro. Anytime.
I got one more question. Let's move on. Let's get on. Truth be told, this week, both teams are at home, right? Basically preparing for the week. Now, you've been to two Super Bowls. You know what it's like getting on the road. Do you think there's somewhat of an advantage for, you know, both these teams? Obviously, Tampa's at home, but Kansas City being at home, preparing all week, you know, whatever kind of things they do for preparation, whether it's their body work, whether it's this and that, you know, things that they have during the week they get to have. Kansas City doesn't leave until Saturday, OC.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, honestly. You know, it's going to work out to their advantage because they don't have to deal with a lot of distractions. They don't have to deal with a lot of the things that, you know, a lot of teams have to deal with when they go to the Super Bowl host city for a whole week. You know, you're out of your comfort zone. To them, this is going to be just a regular game. They're not even going to know they're playing the Super Bowl till they get there. And so it's, you know, it's going to be completely different. Even little things like your training room and, you know, all your routines and everything that you have to do. When you're at the Super Bowl, they have to make it somewhere else. And here it's going to be in your home facility. You're going to arrive and it's just going to be a regular game for you, man. And I think for both of these teams, it's going to play out to their advantage. And, you know, I'm happy for them because they don't have to deal with a lot of the hoopla and a lot of the distractions that, you know, ordinarily you would have to.
And that's where having the experience comes to is an advantage, right? Because you understand all the stuff that is off the field. But now, because there are no distractions. If you're in Tampa, you got a little bit, but not the same as the usual OC years when he had to buy 1,000 tickets.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, man. Ridiculous.
How many tickets did you buy?
I don't even remember. You're only allowed to buy, I think, 15. So you had to buy 15 of them. Yeah.
Did you give them all away?
Yeah, every time. My whole family came to the second one, and most of my family came to the first one, too. And
your dad came to the second one?
He was there. He was absolutely there.
But his first game was freezing cold.
His first game was in Troy. And he came there and he was like, I can't do this. And he just went back into the car and sat in the car. That was the first game. That was the first game he ever came to. And the second game was the Super Bowl. Oddly enough.
Wait, that was the second? Oh, my gosh. He
second
moved
game
up
was
quick.
2011. This 2011 Super Bowl was the second game. He only came to two games.
He didn't come to the Super Bowl in 08?
Didn't come.
Like he's like, I'm not going that cold anymore. It's like, Dad, it's not cold.
Yeah, no, he was in Atlanta. He just sat there and watched it in Atlanta with like a bunch of my other people who were there. But he was in America. He just didn't come to the game.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing, man. Mm-hmm. All right, man, we got a big week, man. Shout out to everything we got to do. Shout out to the listeners and thank you all for all your comments on all the discussions we have. Me and OC read them all that you put on Twitter, Instagram. Thank you for engaging with us. And we will holler at you soon. Uprise.
All day.
Forgive me for being myself. Forgive me for being myself. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth. Being broke is bad for my health. Being broke is bad for my health. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth. Forgive me for being myself. Forgive me for being myself. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth. Being broke is bad for my health. Being broke is bad for my health. I want the money, the power, the dollar, and all of the riches and wealth. February the 8th, the deadly mistake. Fatal decisions that left me to make. Saddened, the Lord took my blessings away. Fathomed the good life to the house of pain. They locked the locks, couldn't stop the clock. Story of my life for a couple months. I should have known who not to trust. If life is a journey, then what is the cost? Forgive me for being myself. Forgive me for being myself.